for instance, I walked the dog. Subject is I, walked is past tense, verb, and the dog is the object.
But it would be the dogs, would it not?
It would, in my case, absolutely. One dog would have been left out and would have felt very bad. Oh, wonderful. Yay, come in, come in. Who else is out there?
I don't think there's any requirements to put the name on. You can be anonymous.
Oh, that's great.
Which makes this easier.
Yeah, it does.
I'm so impressed with everybody coming out tonight. It's great. Oops. Yeah, there's a little, I think there's some small sheets of paper going around. I'm just asking everyone to come up with a short sentence, subject, verb, object, with the I as the subject, past tense, verb. And then once you get it done, drop it in the paper bag, and I'll collect those. All right, thank you so much. This is an amazing turnout. We actually have all three of the judges in the KVGD poetry contest here tonight. I'd like them to us to acknowledge them. Judy Thomas, Ned Bodie, and Barbara Patterson. So thank you so much for helping us get this project to completion. Without you, we'd still be floundering around wondering, what are we going to do with all of these poems? We'll announce who the winners are in a little bit. I've got the sign-up sheet for the open mic night. I think we'll probably start with, we have three readers this evening, and then we'll go on to the three winning poems in the adult division. I've asked Mary Jean to read the second place winner, which was Nancy Barron's Paddling Near an Island, and Kathy O'Brennan is going to be reading the winning entry, and it's called Klickitat Kayak Song by Wendy Thompson. Wendy Thompson is a writer from the Portland area and couldn't make it here this evening. But she did actually send us a musical production of her poem. It's kind of a bluesy song. Hey, Rick, do you think we could play that? Do you have a copy of it? Maybe afterwards, because I brought it. We'll see. The third place winner is Pat Horn for her poem Fans. Yes. The juvenile category was actually won first and second place by an 11-year-old girl from the Seattle area named Athena Blanton. And we did not get any entries from the Goldendale area from in the kids division, and this is an area where we need to work on next year for sure. Definitely needs improving the turnout of local kids. I know they have poetry in them.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's people in Seattle too?
Yeah, the word got out, so.
All pants.
Okay, so. Let's see, I think I'll present certificates first and we'll get on to poems. So for all of you participants who showed up this evening, we have a certificate of appreciation from the KVG DLP 2014 Poetry Contest Committee to Ned Bodie of Goldendale, Washington on Poem in Your Pocket Day, April 24th, plus one for serving as our poetry contest judge. Thank you so much. No apparent order. I've got certificate of participation to Ed Weddle of Goldendale, Washington, for his contribution of a poem. I think it was called For Vivian with Love. And Ed will be reading his poem later. Thank you so much. Pam Forbes. Pam, are you here?
What?
A certificate of appreciation to Pam Forbes.
Well, thank you.
For being the liaison between the Golden Guild and the KVGD Radio Group. She shows up here every final Friday and lets us in and helps set up the place so we have chairs. So thank you, Pam. This is to Barbara Patterson, who was actually our definitive judge, the one who made the final call when all else failed. Thank you so much. Kathy O'Brennan for being the money handler. Another certificate of appreciation. And I know you love certificates.
Well, I know their value.
This one's worthy of framing, perhaps. And Rick Fry for running the sound system. All right, I fished out one for Judy when she came in the door, but now I've totally misplaced it. So I think you're off the hook until it turns up. Okay. Where? Oh, that's the one. Good eyes, Miss Penny. Thank you so much. Looking for trouble here, because when I made my phone call to beg Judy to do this, I promised her no limelight. You will not get any recognition whatsoever. So I kind of went back on my word there. Sorry. But thank you. Thank you so much. And we have three readers. One more pitch. The KVG group is actually starting to sell memberships, so if you want to be one of the charter members and get on board right out of the box here, I have some forms, and Kathy's here. She would be happy to collect your money.
I'll take your money.
I'll just leave them on the table by the coffee. All right, let's start out actually with Mr. Weddle. If you would like to read your poem, we'd be happy to.
I could read that one, or I could read another one, but I'll read that one, I guess.
Well, it's up to you, and we could listen to as much as you want to give us.
Because I have another one that I thought about sending the other, but I didn't.
Okay.
This is called To Vivian, My Love. Believe me, I am most sincere in every word I say. When I declare I love you, dear, in each moment of the day. I want you more than anyone or anything on earth, and more than any moon or sun or star of any earth. I need your sweet and wonderful and sorrowful gaze and the happiness you give and all of the other loving ways in which you help me live. And in return, I offer you the best there is in me and give my promise to be true for all eternity. I love to bring you gifts of gold and be at your command because I love you and hold your future in your hand. If those who know I love you, dear, should ever ask me why, I should not ever hesitate to wrong spelling there. To give my true reply. It says five. I would be willing to confess that I adore you, dear, because you are so gentle, so loyal, and sincere, because you always understand the problems that arise, and even as you counsel me, you never criticize. Instead, you offer sympathy and courage to go on, and you are never satisfied until my fears are gone. But they will never ask me, dear, for all of the world can see, you are just as wonderful as you seem to me. If I could take you in my arms and tell you how I feel, there would be no uncertainties and nothing to conceal. For I would give my heart to you and all the love in me, and I would tell you what it means to share your company. Because you are happiness in every song I know, whenever stars bestow their light, or flowers start to grow, wherever there is beauty in the picture of a day, our memories are soft enough to wash away the tears away. And if I could gaze into your eyes and hold you close to me, I know all of your dreams would dissolve into eternity. Dear one, the world belongs to us in every song and sigh, as long as we are faithful and do not say goodbye. As long as you abide with me, I am true to you. And hand in hand, we understand and share the old and new. There is no rain or hurricane to foster any fear while we are honest with ourselves and are both sincere. There is no snow to block the door or wind to rock the roof unless we lose our balance and try to be aloof. The world is ours, and life itself is perfectly divine, as long as I belong to you and you are really mine. There will be moments to regret and little tears to cry, but say it never be a fact that we have to say goodbye. There will be some lonely nights and disappointing days, but darling, let us never reach a parting of the ways. Our love has been too wonderful for it to disappear and have such memories become a ghost of yesteryear. My dreams would languish in the dust without your soft caress, and all the world would soon become a tomb of emptiness. Because I live each hour, dear, for your wonderful sake, and if you ever went away, I know my heart would break. And I think of you tonight because it was a night like this when first I held you in my arms and shared your loving kiss. It was a golden moment when my heart began to dream, and every goal I had in life became a happy scheme. And I thought the weeks would have wandered by, and months have seemed like years. I will remember how we smiled and kept away the tears. You were to urge me on with inspiration and faith, and I know there is no one who ever can take your place. Darling, that I have said should let you know that I do now and will always love you so, Ed. It's called Those Two. First star appeared, the soft whisper of footsteps, those two. The cobblestone street shimmering, the light of night wending its way through the village so friendly. A fleeting glance, a knowing moment, those two. A small inn glowed with the softness of candlelight, capturing the sweetened tones of violins tenderly. A radiant smile when they met, those two. The liquor was served in a sparkling crystal upon a checkered cloth, enticing. The touch of hands across the tablecloth, those two. The soft whisper of dancing couples, the warmth of firelight, embracing. The quickened beat of hearts, the feeling of being in love, those two. The sparkle of moonlit waters, the cast enchanting spell, so rich. A grand couple when they were strolling, those two. Spring breezes blow through a garden of love, a bud opens. A moment of truth, a time for happiness, those two. A structure of elegance, a gathering of friends, a wedding. He said, I do. She said, I will. Those two.
Thank you all for coming, and this has been a great experience for me to be a judge for this poetry contest, because there was some really, really good stuff in there, and I really did enjoy it. I've been a cowboy poet for a little over 10 years now, and I've just had great fun with it. It all started when I wrote a poem for a friend of mine who had lost his horse, and his reaction to it got me to thinking what would happen if I really sat down and wrote some poetry. So the first day I wrote 5, they just came out. It was an amazing experience. To give you some background, I'm a veteran of 21 years in the U.S. military. I spent 11 and a half years active duty Navy, 4 years Army National Guard and 6.5 in the Army Reserve, and I retired. I was a drill sergeant in my last assignment, and it was great fun. But when I got out of the Navy, I got a chance to go to Wyoming to go to school. And I ended up at Sheridan College in Sheridan, Wyoming, as an ag major specializing in equine studies. Basically, I rode hunters and jumpers and learned how to train horses and how to take care of them and all that good stuff. And one of the neat places about Sheridan is that it's a pretty historic town. It has a huge old hotel, which is now a museum. It's called the Old Sheridan Inn. It was really made famous by Buffalo Bill. He used to hold auditions sitting in a rocking chair on the back porch for his Wild West shows. And even though it's now a museum, the bar, which was originally part of the hotel, still functions as a bar. It's still there, and people go there for Fridays and Saturday nights for music and dancing and just having a good time. But I had a really neat experience one day, because there's a big sign right out front that says Historic Sheridan Inn. And I came out there, it was the middle of winter. Of course, we had snow all over the place. And I really saw something neat and had a great experience, and I wrote a poem about that. One Friday night in midwinter, with snow piled to 6 feet, I thought I'd go out on the town for drinks and friends to meet. The lot was packed outside the bar, and parking space was tight. And as I stopped to seek a spot, I witnessed a strange sight. Tied to a sign outside the bar and blowing clouds of steam, two ponies standing side by side. It wasn't just a dream. Why they were there, I didn't know, was something I'd not seen. Two cowboys had stopped by, I guess, to spend a little green. The crowded bar was full of cheer as I came through the door. There were so many people there, you couldn't see the floor. But as I pushed through towards the bar, my mind on a stiff drink, I didn't see the strange tableau until I reached the brink. Two cowboys that were standing there, each with a drink in hand, the tapping toes and talking soft while listening to the band. But all around for quite a space, the crowd was kept at bay. It made no sense at all, you see, that they were moved away. These cowboys seemed to pose no threat. They weren't crude or rude. And certainly there was no sign they'd bully some poor dude. But as I crossed the open space, it all became quite clear why no one in that crowded bar had even dared come near. It seems that these two cowboys had been riding fence a spell, that they'd not bathed in many weeks, I easily could tell. 'Twas whiskey first and then a bath these two had been a-thinkin' as they were riding to the ranch, both tired and a-stinkin'. 'Twas because they'd seen the lights they'd stopped at that bar first and tied their ponies to the sign so they could quench their thirst. But after they had drunk their fill, they ambled back outside to mount their ponies and ride off, the smiles from all quite wide. So if you see some ponies tied near where you park your car, just mingle with the crowd inside and steer clear of the bar. Thank you. Having spent time in the Navy, one of the things that I noticed everywhere I went, no matter where I was stationed in the world, somewhere on the base, I would come across somebody wearing one of these and a pair of these. And of course, if we could find a horse, we'd have a competition. But I got to thinking about that. And I said, why are there so many cowboys in the Navy? So I wrote a poem about that. The men who joined the Navy come from throughout the land, from Texas to Wyoming, Nevada to Maryland. A lot of these are cowboys who have never seen the sea, but their love of God and country says that's where they need to be. And though they leave the ranch behind, there's something they take with them, their love of peace and liberty and working hard to keep them. The jobs they do at sea and ashore have nothing to do with cattle or spurs or chaps or lariats or horse or reins or saddle. They do these things because they must. The founding fathers said it, that to keep America strong and safe, we must sacrifice to the limit. A lot of these young cowboys never make it back to shore, but by their willingness to serve, we'll guarantee that evermore, the land they left with its wide open spaces will be worked by cowboys of all different races. For being a cowboy is not something that's worn. It's a state of being that's instilled when you're born. So let's thank all those cowboys who've gone down to the sea that have left us this place called the land of the free. Thank you. Can I do one more?
Sure.
Okay. I got to talking to my sister about doing this cowboy poetry thing, and she says, well, if you want to do that, you got to do something with thunder and lightning in it. So I sat down and I wrote this poem, right in one shot straight through, never stopped, start to finish. It's called Thunder on the Mesa. The mesa stood in stark relief against a lowering sky. The cattle seemed more restless as we drove them slowly by. It had been nearly 40 days since we'd had any rain, so we were moving the whole herd to Soda Springs again. But on this drive, our fifth this year to get these cows to water, an unexpected front moved in and rain began to spatter. Now this part of West New Mexico is bone dry through July, as near as I remember things since I was a little guy. So these black clouds piling up against the mesa tall gave plenty cause for worry as we sang our cattle call. When pushing plus 200 head through desert canyons wide, the clicking sound of cattle horns gives goosebumps to your hide. And when more than 800 hooves are added to the din, I have no need to tell you of the fix that we were in. Because all this noise makes cattle spook and jump at rocks that clatter. Their eyes grow bigger with each step. Their fright's no laughing matter. So when the rain came pelting down and lightning flashed above us, the herd took off in a stampede as if hell-bent for Texas. And then there came a mighty crash as thunder followed lightning. Off both sides of the canyon walls, the sound was truly frightening. And then again the lightning flashed with peals of rolling thunder. Sam and his pinto had no chances. They were swept asunder. For now the herd was running hard with no space left to turn him. And Jack was racing for his life, and Arroyo is what saved him. His pony jumped the 20 feet across the raging water. The cattle just ran into it like little lambs to slaughter. As suddenly as it began, that summer storm was over. The sun came out and all was still, which helped this shaken drover. That timely flash flood checked the herd. We only lost a handful. And poor old Sam, crushed by the hooves, the sight was something awful. We buried Sam and the pinto horse at the base of that big mesa. I carved his name on a big red rock and quoted a line from Isaiah. Now you never know when punching cows what Mother Nature's up to. She'll make you smile. She'll whip you raw. That's a cowboy's life. It'll do. Thank you. You want more?
Sure, can we do another?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wrote a bit of whimsy, just for fun, because everybody likes a little humor. This dude came out to the ranch one day, all dressed like a Hollywood cowpoke. He wanted to try his hand at the work of which his grandpa had spoke. Now he swore he knew all there was to know about riding and punching cattle, because grandpa told him all these things was easy, just get in the saddle. Well, the foreman thought that this brash galoot might bring about some laughter if the rig he had with a weak cinch strap was used on a horse called Rafter. An old Rafter was known to buck and spin, but only when the foreman would whistle. So the dude was sent to get some steers that were hiding out in the thistle. Well, the hands gathered round to watch all the fun as the dude and old Rafter went searching. They got on a fence to get a good view of the dude who was swaying and lurching. 'Twas easy to see the dude couldn't ride, and Rafter was paying no mind. And then the foreman whistled, and Rafter lit out, almost leaving the dude behind. When old Rafter pitched with that dude hanging on, that weak cinch just busted and split, which left dude and saddle just going straight up with nothing at all underneath it. Well, the hands were roaring at the pitiful sight of this dude in the saddle in midair, because they really hadn't had this much fun since the cook had been treed by a bear. And when dude and saddle had crashed back to earth, they found that nothing was broken, except the poor dude's pride and the cinch, of course, which they gave to him as a token. So if you're looking for a cowhand's job, don't show up dressed like the dude did. Just tell the foreman you're ready to work and check that your cinch ain't busted. Thank you.
Thank you, Ned. Well, I think I'll move on to the winning poetry entries in our juvenile category. The young woman, Athena Blanton of Seattle, Washington, age 11. Keep that in mind. She entered two poems and she won first and second place. Her biography, she wrote, it was a one paragraph. Athena Blanton lives in Seattle and is in fifth grade at the Evergreen School. She visits Goldendale often and loves to go to Mary Hill Museum. She enjoys reading, playing piano, seeing her friends, and playing with her little brother, Nico. We have a winner! No one is as shocked as I am. No, Mary Jean is more shocked than I am. Not only did she enter, but she won big time.
You better call her and give me a clap.
We don't have to mail that after all. We'll just give it to Mary Jean. All right, well, I'll read her first poem. This was actually the one that took second. It's called I Explore. I explore the Rocky Mountains of the Galapagos Islands with the slow elephant seals and the ocean pacing back and forth on the sand. I explore my sweet 16 celebration with a brand new car and driving lessons. I explore Berkeley College, where I will grow up and share my memories. I explore the outstanding party I will have getting my master's degree and becoming adult on my own. I explore making an equal football team with boys and girls, no different uniform or importance. I explore becoming the first woman president and achieving equal rights for everyone and trying to support country peace. I explore meeting my favorite singers, actors, and then having my own fans meet me. I explore Lakeside School that will get me to where I am going. I explore being a famous basketball player, number 4, making rebounds and blocking shots. I explore going into space and meeting Mars men and eating floating frosting in space. I explore having 12 kittens, all of them as cute as can be, and they will all love to sit on my lap and sleep with me. I explore eating the fanciest foods in the world. I explore playing in the snow next winter, whether the weather likes it or not. I explore a wee purple house, 2 floors, and an oversized backyard. I explore having a terrific dog that will run, play, and be well trained so that I won't get angry at it. I explore becoming a musician and playing piano for very exclusive fancy restaurants. I explore helping sick children at Children's Hospital, being a pediatrician. I explore my arms reaching out into the cold air of a cottage on top of a mountain where I will spend the rest of my days. That's all. That applause is for Athena Blanton. Fabulous. Okay, the first place winner, she wrote, is the title is I Am From. I am from lying awake at night listening to my parents bark back and forth in the hallway. I am from the similarities I shared with a new best friend laughing and giggling all through our lives. I am from the despair of a lost pet and the joyous occasion of a new one sleeping on my lap in the long car ride home. I am from the loved and the lost, the forgotten and the mistreated. I am from the sparks of the fire and hearing screaming in my head from a mouse on my lap outside. I am from the luckiest of them all, thinking of where I could be but what I have accomplished. I am from the faraway, the desired, and the crisp smell of dried mud in Seattle. I am from thunderstorms, rain, hail, and snow. I am from fried chicken at the grocery store and the fancy cakes I always plead for. I am from the Space Needle to Lake Washington and Boeing Fields where I feel unknown. I am from the private school of 50 years that has always stayed the same. I am from the kindergarten class of being special and trying new things with a baby brother. I am from the same routine of getting up, but still it seems too early. I am from walks at the beach with hard, crunchy sand, with seaweed between my toes, and taunting the water with thick layers of fog to come and get me. I am from where I want and where I choose. I am from adventures of my life. Well, that solves a mystery. We couldn't figure out how or why a young woman from Seattle, a fifth grader, would be intrigued with this place. Well, it's obviously because she has family here.
Was she the only one from Seattle that entered?
She's the only one from anywhere, any of the student division that entered.
That is so sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
We somehow missed that boat. I'm not sure why. Yes.
People would have known. Although, you know, I don't know how likely it is.
I know.
I mean, kids, I can't think of anyone who even knows what the radio is. I mean,
we'll have to change that one.
I don't really know how to use a radio, so not like that, you know, I have figured it out.
Okay. We'll work on that, Marissa.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
So in the adult division, the third place winner went to Pat Horn, who is traveling with her husband, Harry, and can't be here with us tonight. The title of her poem is Fans, and I will read that one too. The old hoofer remembers white ostrich fans revealing and concealing pirouettes and pauses. She's moving to the music in her mind. She hears crescendos of applause as she strides off stage, sweeping her fans in farewell. Now every day she leans into her mirror with its magnified aureoles of light and looks beyond. She does not see the radiating lines that fan out from the corners of her eyes. She only hears her fans. That was from Pat. Our second place winner was Nancy Barron's poem called Paddling Near an Island, and I've asked Mary Jean to read that one.
Nancy is Nancy writes songs. Nancy Barron writes songs, and she is not here tonight because she's at a music workshop, getting better and better, learning a lot. This is titled "Paddling Near an Island." Slender flute-like flowers, cerulean blue, waver on their tall, slender stalks. Underbellies flickering with wavelet reflections. Enhanced by our bow nearing. Oh, the blue shimmers detach themselves, levitate above the grasses, blend into sky, hover like a luminous cloud, rearrange themselves, settle again on perches anchored in muddy underwater softness. A spirit of dragonflies.
First place in the adult division went to Klickitat Kayak Song by Wendy Thompson of Troutdale with homage to Whitman. At ease and at ebb with the ebb tide. Once I was naked on a rocky riverbank, sweet flesh on granite, tender curves over rugged stone. And I was at ease and at ebb with the ebb tide. Once I was a stoic, baking in a summer sun, squinting at the world and wondering why I am still at water's edge, while fine spokes of light glance like shimmering gems off the River Klickitat, at ease and at ebb with the ebb tide. Once you told me you'd like to read the obituaries, not like, as in it brings me pleasure to read them, you said. Happy to be alive and 50. But take this one, for example. Only 23 years old. Dead. Gone. Makes you think, don't you think? At ease and at ebb with the ebb tide. What if you only had 23 years, or five, or just a three-hour river run? Makes you think, don't you think? About the choice to flaunt away the day and just receive the summer sky, at ease and at ebb with the ebb tide. Are you ready, you ask? Are you ready to pass through the rapids? You know, it's okay to back out, you say, to suspend here and everywhere. But then I go nowhere, so I know it's not okay to stop short of the finish line, shy of sunset. It's not okay. So I catch one last gaze from your thirsty eyes and dig my paddle into the white water, drenching me. I follow you into the V, into the splash of canyon shadows and fears, and mere seconds pass before I am soaked and grinning. The moment splendors me, then spits us out from the river's tongue, alive and at ease and at ebb with the ebb tide.
Commemorative copies of that poem, if any of you would like this to have. I think I'll actually just pass the stack around, that way you'll be sure to get it and go out. Now there's a paper bag floating around here someplace. Ah. Are you ready? Go for it.
Whenever, I don't really mind. Whatever you want.
You're up.
Okay. I had to wait a little bit because I had bronchitis this week. Last time I was here was last month, and I promised whoever was here that I would write a part two to my story last month about the kindergarten boy, and I did, but I don't have the voice to read it, so I didn't bring that one this time. But I like to write things sometimes that make people think, so I have two. One is called Care. Care is not bought, it is given. Love is not simply to say, I love you. Love is deep. Understanding is not a misunderstanding waiting to happen. It is carefully listened to. A hug is not simply an act.
It's a place. Man is not just male or female. He's a sign of God's deep everlasting love. God is not only the creator, but the forgiver. My other one is on my screen on my phone. Okay. So my brother and I, we just hang out and do random stuff, and we say random things whenever something comes in our mind, we just say it. And I was laying on my bed while he was playing video games, and I just started saying, I don't really know what the phrase means, but I'm thinking it probably had something to do with the fact that I had been doing a lot of writing. It's called Notebook. I notebooked a notebook all around town. I notebook a notebook when you're not around. I notebook a notebook even if it's not right, because that's the way I notebook tonight. And the last one is really short. It's something that I'm not going to explain, because I'm hoping that everybody here can just kind of think about it. It's called The Sum of Everyone, and the poem is Be You.
I think that's about it for this evening. If anybody has anything else to add, contribute, please do.
This is called the Ode to the Place by the Side of the Road.
This is actually the second one. There was another one, but when I was a policeman, there used to be a place out here called the Oasis Cafe. And the Oasis Cafe was a place where the policeman stopped in the middle of the night to have coffee because it was the only place open. I'll write another ode. Now, this is ode number two. So it says, I'll write another ode for the place by the side of the road. I am doing this, you will see, for the girls that wait on me. Now one is taller and sparkling eye, the other is smaller and cute as pie. Both have smiles that light up the place, and I would say that they're full of grace. If you get your order and have plenty of scratch, you can plan on losing it in a match. Now, don't ask me their names, because I wouldn't tell you to keep out of flames. They wait on me with a lot of glee. Bring donuts and drink to the table quick as a wink, and they fill your cup when you are done, clean up. They never shout, they never cry, and when I leave, they say goodbye. It had long been told of officers young and old that if you must, you will find it just to eat and drink and sit and think, and most of all, to the ode to the place by the side of the road. So now I leave it be said that I will love this place until I'm dead.
Well, just to make everything else that came before look so much, sound so much more wonderful, I'm going to give you something to compare it to. Okay, this is from the paper bag.
Paper bag poems.
Yes, paper bag poems. There was a couple that traveled around the country in 1996 and 97 that did very low-tech recordings of the cassette tape, deck, and guitars, and singing. And the group they went by, their name was Cactus Cooler. They have a song called Paper Bag. And the words are pretty simple. Each verse consists of a subject, a verb, and an object, basically. So I'm just going to do kind of a rough rendition. There starts, I was born in a paper bag. I was born in a paper bag. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Now, their second verse was, they're a young couple, right? This was 20 years ago. I can only imagine what they're like now. I was married in a paper bag. I was married in a paper bag. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Now, you all came up with... I ran through the field in a paper bag. I ran through the field in a paper bag. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I observed an osprey in a paper bag. I observed an osprey in a paper bag. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I followed the Lewis and Clark trail in a paper bag. Followed the Lewis and Clark trail in a paper bag. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I played Bach in a paper bag. I played Bach in a paper bag. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I touch hands, I touch hearts in a paper bag. I touch hands, I touch hearts in a paper bag. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I walked among wildflowers in a paper bag. Walked among wildflowers in a paper bag. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Thank you so much. I think this is time to recept. We have a reception. Mingle with each all other. And if there's a food, please help yourself. I don't want to take any of it home.
Hey.
Thank you.